Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Smashy Business Show. Today is September 2nd, 2024. It is the start of the week, Monday. My name is Hind Dah, and I'm here with my co-host, Abdelmajid Awan. How are you feeling, Abdelmajid?
It was a good weekend, so yes. I'm feeling great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you said your parents were coming into town.
Yeah, so they were here. So yeah, didn't get a lot of sleep, but obviously. It's a good time to visit Dubai if anyone wants to come here, because it's not too hot. And everything is at a cheaper price right now. Yeah. So the season starts in the next month, most probably, or this month, mid of this month. So come here before everything gets super expensive. Mm-hmm.
So a lot on our table today. Yeah. So we have inside Pavel Durov's arrest, Arabian Nails $271 million IPO covered in an hour, Convi launching fractional ownership in UAE, and WeBook prepares for a $1 billion IPO on the Saudi exchange after significant achievement. Now, we talked a lot about Pavel Durov this past week, and then we have some new updates today. So Majid has more on that. Can you tell us?
So Pavel Durov, what happened was that he got arrested. Everyone knows that. He is in France. He's country locked. He's under country arrest. So he can't leave France. Mm-hmm. He's paid a 5 million euro bail. He reports to a police station twice a week. These are the basic things that everyone knows. What happened was a recent report by Reuters. It detailed who was behind the arrest. So the French prosecutor's office, a prosecutor's office is basically government lawyers who sit and think about the cases that they can pull out. They investigate instances where people are doing something illegal, hidden, not usually in the public eye, hidden. So those investigations go on through a prosecutor's office. French prosecutor's office has a cybercrime unit. So the cybercrime unit, which is called J3, famously, it has a 38-year-old female at the head, and she's become the talk of the town across the globe, because she's not just a prosecuting Telegram owner. The history is very long. They've also caught two other owners. The story is very interesting. Mm-hmm. So they've also prosecuted EncroChat, E-N-C-R-O, chat. They had nearly 60,000 users worldwide, and those were primarily in Europe. So arrests of 6,500 people were made since the EncroChat takedown in 2020. Mm-hmm. And what happened was French, Dutch, and Belgian police, they got together, they hacked into EncroChat, and from there they got all the data of the all illegal trading, mm-hmm. crimes, all the bad things happening through that platform, EncroChat. And this was initiated by J3, the cybercrime unit, mm-hmm. at the French prosecutor office. So they have a very good history.
Yes, but I think that this case specifically will mark a milestone about this whole discourse on tech CEOs and free speech. So of course, Pavel Durov is very, very, you know, he does not back down from free speech. So we've talked about this before. He will not cave in to authorities and back down. But then if he is actually officially charged and goes to jail, then that will kind of have a ripple effect on all the other tech CEOs. And kind of will have them revise their own methods of, like, well, do I really keep every single thing private, no matter how illegal it is on my platform? And am I actually, am I complicit? Or, you know, it's a rough
complicated
trail to
debate.
Take.
Yes. The thing is, EncroChat, we talked about it. It had 60,000 users. There was Sky ECC also. It had 170,000 users. The problem with these platforms was these platforms were very small as compared to Telegram. Mm-hmm. Telegram hit 1 billion users in July by the official channel. They were at 950 million people in June, which they announced, and then they probably crossed 1 billion because Telegram founder himself announced on Telegram, Pavel Durov, that we've crossed the 1 billion mark. There was no official report or numbers shown, but he just announced it. So they had 1 billion users. It's not a small number. It's as competitive as you can get with a platform, and which honors privacy. According to him, they honor privacy. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're trying to hide something. They honor privacy. And right. The question again is, where do you stop? If you allow access to a government or anyone to one user, that sets a precedent for future cases. In the future, they can always come back. They can always say, we need more data about this guy. Now we need data about this, this company, this, this, this. So it opens them to scrutiny and it sets a precedent. Pavel Durov doesn't want that. He doesn't want even one person, one company, even one chat being scrutinized by the government authorities. So this is his stand. The problem is, in the whole story, Pavel has an upper hand. Because this story, this whole case is built around that he knew whatever was happening through Telegram. Now, the burden of proof is on this cybercrime unit led by, what was her name? Sorry, I forgot
yeah. So her, it ends with Broses, so if you can find her first name.
So yeah, she basically is the head of this whole thing, Joanna Bros, it's a French pronunciation, sorry for that, but Joanna is basically behind this. She's a 38 year old female. In 2022 she went to a podcast. She said that France is very, very committed to removing all the cyber crimes that are happening. And she also claimed that people are scared of the cybercrime unit of France. So now the very first big fish, the very first big victim of their investigation is Telegram founder. The question is, if somehow Telegram founder is found complicit and all the charges against him are proven, what happens to Mark Zuckerberg? What happens to Bill Gates? He owns Microsoft.
What happens to Telegram itself?
Yeah.
Will they change their policies? Will they, you know, actually crack down on these illegal activities?
And the funny thing about Telegram is he is like an authoritarian ruler. He is the sole owner of everything Telegram.
And it's a very small scale platform. Yes. Not a lot of people do work on Telegram.
And he has a very close team of like 30 plus engineers, maybe now 40, because they were growing a lot. So, but he, in his last official interview, he said, we're only a team of 30 people and we're very close. We don't talk to people outside about our business. We only talk to each other. So that small team and this guy leading Telegram and being the face of Telegram. If you take the face off Telegram, I don't know where it will stand.
Yeah.
The good thing for Telegram is that a lot of people are in its favor. People have a thing about privacy, and this chat about privacy is not like very new. It's been going on since like 5-10 years now. It's been a decade that this chat has been going on, because we sometimes discuss, everyone discusses this, that when you're talking about headphones, you get headphone ads on Meta. You're talking about anything, you somehow get an ad. I don't know what the algorithm behind is. There's a lot of research on it, but
a lot of speculation as well, or like conspiracy theories.
Conspiracy theories.
They're listening to you. That's why, if you're talking about something, you will find the same product on your ads page or whatever.
So the idea is privacy. Do we open it for everyone? Does Pavel Durov open the platform to be public and everyone can access its data? Does it give control to government authorities only? Who does it give control to? And he doesn't want to open a backdoor. He recently also told Tucker Carlson that one of the engineers the CIA tried to take him on their side and told him that if you can develop a small backdoor into Telegram so they can get in. He said the engineer came to me, told me the story, and I was like, thank you for not doing it. You could have done it.
That's crazy to have the CIA come to your engineer and be like, well, help me like get into the back door.
See, Telegram is very big. We have two more examples like Telegram right now. It's not only Telegram, there's Discord, a messaging app, also is under scrutiny by the J3 unit led by Joanna. So for issues in criminal activities, usually we know Discord because of the channel that it provides for gaming. The gaming thing is very big. I've been a part of that, so I know about it. But it has a lot of community structures, a lot of channels.
Midjourney.
Yeah, Midjourney.
Use it on Discord. So.
Yeah, so
it's not all bad things.
Discord
obviously
is big. That may be the next target of J3 after whatever happens with Telegram. There's Signal also. It's also another encrypted messaging service, which is potentially at the risk of legal action in France if found non-compliant with local regulations. So it doesn't end with Telegram. It starts with Telegram, and all the tech CEOs will be looking at everything. They will be calling their lawyers to prepare a case for them. if they get arrested or if they are charged with something, they will have to fight their cases. The only good thing for these tech founders is the burden of proof is on the French prosecutor's office.
I think it will be very difficult to put Mark Zuckerberg, all these other very big CEOs in jail. I don't think that's likely to happen, but who knows,
History tells us that never believe history, and history also tells us that we should trust history. So history-wise, we've seen that one case in any field, it happens, and then that sets a precedent for the future. Mm-hmm. If Telegram founder Pavel Durov somehow gets convicted in this case, it is going to set a precedent, and everyone will go after every big tech CEO. Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, he already told in a letter to the US Congress that they are complying with certain regularities that are put in place by the US government. So sometimes they share data, sometimes they stop misinformation. So I guess he is safe.
Yeah.
But right now, the debate is very simple. What will happen to Pavel Durov if he is convicted? The whole tech world will be shook, and there will be like, it will open a Pandora box of different new laws, regulations. It will open a new history chapter, basically,
and
for tech CEOs.
And we will be covering on the show, so make sure to tune in. Let's move on to our next major story of the day. Saudi Arabian Mills, so the company Arabian Mills, which is by Saudi Arabia, there's $271 million IPO has been fully covered within just an hour. So they're launching an IPO in Saudi Arabia to raise $271 million by selling a 30% stake on the local stock exchange, also known as Tadawul. And it was, fully covered within just an hour, with institutional investors participating at a price range of 62 to 66 riyals, which is around $16.50 to $17.60 per share. So, you know, this shows how investors are fully confident in Saudi Arabia and their equity markets.
It's not just them. We also saw Al-Majid Farood recently. They were booked in the first 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So the rapid coverage of the IPO in the very first hours shows that investors are very happy with the Saudi environment. They're happy with the Saudi vision. They're happy with how Saudi Arabia is moving forward with their economy. So investors are happy. They'll put all their money in your country, in your IPOs, in everything. So right now, Saudi is doing really good with this. The activity suggests that Saudi Arabia's IPO market remains vibrant and could sustain high levels of activity through the end of the year. And it follows the recent successful IPO by the Saudi perfume maker Al-Majid. I've already talked about it. And there were other high-profile offerings like Saudi Aramco's $12 billion secondary offering and Dr. Sulaiman Al-Qadir Faqih Hospital's $763 million IPOs. Mm-hmm. So it's not just one company. Every company that is going public in Saudi Arabia, I think it's the season of going public.
Public.
They're seeing that Saudi Arabia is posting a lot of good numbers, and they're very fastly moving towards Vision 2033. Mm-hmm. That will be like their audit period, that they'll see that we set these targets and these are the targets that we've achieved. And most probably then they'll set a new target. Mm-hmm. And also, one of the biggest things that usually I forget to talk about, the Riyadh Expo. So the Riyadh Expo in 2030 in Saudi Arabia, that is one of the many reasons that everyone is going to Saudi Arabia to invest. We saw with the Expo 2020 in Dubai, which happened in 2021 due to COVID, but it's still called Expo 2020. We saw that before that, when they were awarded, when Dubai was awarded the hosting rights, a lot of businesses came here. There was an inflow of foreign direct investment, foreign portfolio investment. Everyone was coming to Dubai. Everyone was investing in Dubai. And after that, we've seen a little slowdown on the progress. Dubai is still doing a lot of better things. It's still very successful. The percentages every time are higher. The numbers always are higher. But it's slowed down as compared to the pre-expo period. Mm. So Saudi Arabia will try to milk its cow as much as possible, this Saudi Riyadh Expo 2030 cow. And most probably, they'll get all the benefit they can out of it.
Yeah, so their institutional offer period will run from September 1st, which was yesterday. This is September 5th, with final pricing expected on September 11th. And the retail subscription period is from September 18th to 19th. And also, Arabian Mills has appointed HSBC Saudi Arabia as a lead financial advisor. And HSBC just recently appointed a new CEO, who is a Lebanese-American, George Al-Hadari. So, and he did say he was going to focus more on Asia and the Middle East. So that's
good things happening in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. So let's move on to our second story. Convi expands into UAE real estate and offers property stakes starting at $280. So Convi is Europe's leading luxury assets fractional investment platform. And so the UAE's luxury real estate scene is thriving and is expected to grow throughout 2024, despite a weakening outlook on the global property market. But in the UAE, it's really just expanding. And so they're launching their platform in the UAE, and this will allow investors to own a share of luxury properties starting at $280. And I read a report by the company, and they did say that in Abu Dhabi, the all residential property price index soared by 7.53% in the first quarter of this year, compared to the previous year. And the co-founder and CEO of Coniv said that the UAE's real estate market is a goldmine of untapped potential, perfectly suited to Convi's groundbreaking fractional investment model.
So
the UAE's real estate market is looking really pretty good for the, you know, for the near future.
So Convi is just one of the platforms. There's a lot of other platforms which do this, and it's a good thing that obviously you can't I can't invest like millions in property. Mm-hmm. So even investing very small amount, this fractional property whole market is growing in the UAE, because obviously every year, every quarter, every half year, we see prices increasing. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying that it's a bubble, but I don't think this bubble is going to burst for the next 5-10 years, because every year we see... we also hosted Kabir Joshi from Vantage Properties. He said that the security that this country provides, then millionaires moving in hordes, mm-hmm. not in like numbers, small numbers.
Yeah, the UAE did rank first in millionaire inflows this year, with around 6,000 millionaires coming in this year.
So all these people moving here, they want properties. They would, and not only like residential properties, they want office spaces, mm-hmm. they want commercial spaces. Offshore market, which is not constructed but promises construction in a later period, you can buy in that. So it's becoming expensive. That's the main point. So these apps, these platforms, they provide you a small option of like investing with $280 or maybe $5,000 if you can save some money. And then you can obviously get some part of it as dividend or as profit, because when the whole property is sold or something happens, like it goes on rent, you get some part of it. Mm-hmm. So it's like investing in crypto and investing in stock market.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea for people. Also, because it's an app.
Yeah,
apps makes our lives easier. I think, in my opinion, I think it will make the younger generation more prone to invest in real estate, because it's not a high number. Because in my opinion, when I think of like investing in real estate, I'm like, oh, I need to work and save up, and then I can do that part. But then with a low value like $280, I think that's a great idea to have a platform where you can invest that much money into real estate. So
yes, and the most important thing is, it's not just only Dubai that's seeing good numbers in property. Sharjah is in the first half really report 18% increase in the property transactions. Ajman, I saw somewhere, they reported like 15% increase in property transactions, buying, selling, renting, all of it. Umm Al Quwain, Ras Al Khaimah, most probably they're catching up. But Ras Al Khaimah with their new casino and the whole
Al Marjan Island
being developed, they're seeing a lot of positive things in the property market. Abu Dhabi is a very stable market for property, but they also saw that the rents are increasing because the demand is there, but there's less supply. So everything is moving up, and best time to invest in property.
Yep.
If you have millions, if you don't, go to an app, find a fractional ownership app, and invest in it.
Yes. Finally, let's move on to our final story. WeBook is poised to become a billion-dollar company with upcoming Saudi listings. So I would describe WeBook as like the platinum list of Saudi Arabia. Isn't that correct? So Turki Al-Sheikh, who is the chairman of the General Entertainment Authority, he's also advisor of the royal court. You'll always see his name in terms of like entertainment and sports and media and whatnot. He has announced plans to list WeBook on the Saudi exchange, and the platform is expected to reach a $1 billion valuation.
So WeBook has achieved significant milestones, including selling over 11 million tickets and generating more than 1 billion Saudi riyals in sales within a year. So in 1 year, you're doing so much business. Obviously, you would want to go for an IPO because you're doing good, obviously, and your share prices will be higher. And it became the most downloaded app during the Riyadh season, which happened recently. When I was in Saudi, it was the Jeddah season, and now it's the Riyadh season. So reflecting its strong market presence and user demand. There's a lot of user demand for tickets in Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia is doing a lot in sports, in entertainment.
Yeah.
We talked about some entertainment company, Aurora, going to Saudi Arabia, expanding there. They're already doing Formula E there, and they'll start maybe streaming. So there's a lot of things that are happening, and everyone needs ticket for those events.
Also, the esports World Cup
recently concluded.
Yeah, so a lot of people are buying tickets to go see that. Possibly see even more sales in the coming years. Again, they are trying to host the Olympics, the FIFA World Cup. So I'm sure like the whole of Saudi Arabia is going to want to go to at least one of those games or something.
And so, with the World Cup, if the World Cup comes, obviously the whole world will be in Saudi Arabia. It's not just one country or two countries. It's not like a cricket World Cup that 10 country people will come. World Cup is very big, and it's like a 64-team tournament, 32-team tournament. It's not small. I guess it's the biggest sporting event in the world when a World Cup happens.
That's correct.
Saudi Arabia is looking at that also. So yeah, WeBook will grow. There is a very high chance that WeBook will grow. It shows good, but what I've seen is whenever these companies are going for IPOs, it's either expansion or they're trying to like streamline or make their platforms better. The platform is already doing good. The numbers say that 11 million is not a small number in revenue. And then selling 1 billion, earning 1 billion in sales and 11 million ticket, it's not a small number for a platform. Maybe they're planning for expansion. Maybe they go to UAE, come to UAE. Maybe they give some.
Then they'll be competing with the finalists.
Not only UAE, obviously they will expand to every place they can. Middle East is always the start. Then you can go to other countries as well. So hopefully when their IPO is done, when they go for an IPO, the money that they get from it, they'll do good.
Yep, of course. To recap our show today, we talked about Pavel Durov's arrest and the J3 cybercrime team at the Paris court. We also covered Arabian Mills' $271 million IPO, which was covered in just an hour, Convi launching fractional ownership in the UAE, and finally, WeBook preparing for a $1 billion company with upcoming Saudi listings. So thank you everyone for joining us. You can catch us on all these streaming platforms like, Platinum List, on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Anghami. You can also find us on all the social media channels like Facebook, Meta, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn,
whichever you can name, we're there.
Whichever you can name. If you missed the first half of the show, you can always look back. You can find us on YouTube. We upload the videos there. So thank you so much for joining us. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. So have a great day, everybody. And any final thoughts?
Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow. This is a Smashy Business production from the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Bye-bye.